Good morning, everybody.
If you'd like to turn in your Bibles to John 8. John 8, as we continue our series through the Gospel of John. Just a reminder, if you don't have a Bible, if you need one, we have them in the back. Please grab one. And if you don't own one, please take one from the back. So John 8, verses 31 to 50. Let's read through this text together. So Jesus said to the Jews who had believed in him, "If you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." They answered him, "We are offspring of Abraham and have never been enslaved to anyone. How is it that you say you will become free?" Jesus answered them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who practices sin is a slave to sin. The slave does not remain in the house forever. The son remains forever. So if the son sets you free, you are free indeed. I know that you are the offspring of Abraham, yet you seek to kill me because my words find no place in you. I speak of what I have seen with my father, and you do what you have heard from your father." They answered him, "Abraham is our father." Jesus said to them, "If you were Abraham's children, you would be doing the works that Abraham did. But now you seek to kill me, a man who has told you the truth that I heard from God. This is not what Abraham did. You are doing the works your father did." They said to him, "We were not born in sexual immorality. We have one father, even God." Jesus said to them, "If God were your father, you would love me. For I came from God and I am here. I came not of my own accord, but he sent me. Why do you not understand what I say? It is because you cannot bear my word. You are of your father, the devil, and your will is to do your father's desires. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks out of his own character, for he is a liar and the father of lies. But because I tell you the truth, you do not believe me. Which one of you convicts me of sin? If I tell the truth, why do you not believe me? Whoever is of God hears the words of God. The reason why you do not hear them is because you are not of God." The Jews answered him, "Are we not right in saying that you are a Samaritan and have a demon?" Jesus answered, "I do not have a demon, but I honor my father and you dishonor me. Yet I do not seek my own glory. There is one who seeks it, and he is the judge." Let's pray. Father, as we heard earlier from 2 Corinthians, I ask that you would help me to openly state the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I pray you would make clear to us the freedom that can only be found in Jesus Christ, that we would all believe and have life in his name. I ask for your help by the power of your Spirit, in Jesus' name. Amen. What does the word freedom mean to you? What does freedom mean to you? The word freedom can mean different things to different people. There are many different types of freedom that we can speak of. You hear people talk about financial freedom. People on the internet saying that you should try and pay off all your debts as quickly as possible, max out your pension, and then retire at the age of 35. That's nice if you can manage it, isn't it? Then you will be free. On a more serious note, we see discussions in the news, especially lately, about freedom of speech. The right to speak freely without fear of being censored or silenced, especially by the state. It's a precious freedom. It's also the freedom of entire peoples or nations. That is why the Ukrainian people are fighting right now, because they want to be free from the oppression of Russia, who would want to control them against their will, without their consent. We even see the word freedom pop up in mundane things like advertising. I had to renew my phone contract during the week, and the plan that I opted for was called Freedom 5G, which sounds just fantastic. Until you sign the contract, which says you got to pay this much money every month for the next 24 months. It doesn't feel very free then. It feels more like slavery. Freedom is a powerful word. What does freedom mean to you? In our text this morning, Jesus is talking about the most important freedom of all, and that is freedom from sin. He says in verse 34, everyone who practices sin, that is, everyone literally who does sin, is a slave to sin. But for those who believe in my word, who go on believing it, who abide in it or remain in it, they will know the truth, and the truth shall set them free. That's what Jesus is talking about here in this passage. There's a lot going on in his interactions with the Jews. There are two main points here: slavery to sin and freedom in Jesus. He begins, first of all, by making it very clear. This is my first point, that slavery to sin is the human problem. Slavery to sin is the human problem. He's speaking in the temple, remember? It's packed full of people because it is the Feast of Tabernacles, a holy festival. And he is speaking to a crowd that is now increasingly hostile towards him as he continues to assert who he is, that he is the Son of God sent from heaven for the salvation of the world, for all who would believe. And their response is, for the most part, incredibly hostile. But some, look at verse 30, the verse before our text, some, as he is speaking, believed in him. Now, if you've been with us as we've been going through John, you'll know in John's gospel that he speaks about people believing in Jesus, but it's in a very superficial, surface level kind of believing. It's not true believing. Back in chapter 2, for example, it says when Jesus was in Jerusalem back then, this is about a year prior to what's going on in our passage, when Jesus was in Jerusalem at the Passover feast, many believed in his name. Sounds good. When they saw the signs he was doing, but Jesus, on his part, did not entrust himself to them because he knew all people and he knew what was in the hearts of men. Jesus knew these people are believing in me just because of the miracles I have done, not because I am the Son of God. Saw the same thing in chapter 6. Remember when he fed the crowds of people in the wilderness? And the next day they find Jesus on the other side of the lake. What do they want from Jesus? They want more food. Jesus is the vending machine to end all vending machines. And Jesus turns to them and said, you're looking for bread? I'm the bread. I am the bread of life, and if you don't eat me, eat my flesh, and drink my blood, you have no life in you. And so once he makes clear to them that the eating that they need to partake of, the food that they really need, is him, once he presses what it means to really believe in him, it says that many of them turned away and followed him no longer. So that's why, after verse 30, here in our text where it says many believed in him, Jesus then follows up and he clarifies what it means to truly be his disciple. He gives a distinguishing mark of a true disciple, of those who belong to him versus those who really do not. He says, if you abide or remain in my word, you are truly my disciples. And you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. This is the difference between supposed disciples and true disciples. And it becomes quickly clear that this crowd, those who believe in him, are not true disciples at all. Verse 32, it says, they, that is, the many who believed in him, they answered him, we are offspring of Abraham. We've never been enslaved to anyone. So why are you offering us this freedom, Jesus? Now, if you have even a small knowledge of the Old Testament and the story of the Jewish people, you will know at multiple times in their history they were enslaved. They were enslaved to the Egyptians and Pharaoh in the times of Moses. They were enslaved to the Persians in the exile. They were taken away as slaves. And even as they're speaking to Jesus right now, they are, in a very real sense, enslaved to the Roman Empire who rules over them with complete dominion. So when they say to Jesus, we've never been enslaved to anyone, they're not forgetting their history. They understand Jesus is not talking about political slavery. He's talking about spiritual slavery. They fully understand that's what he's talking about. And so they're saying, no, Jesus, we don't need spiritual freedom. We're good. Thank you, but we're okay. Because Abraham is our father. We're in. Oh, no, we're already the people of God. We're the Jews. We're God's chosen people. What does Jesus say to them? He says, sorry, forgot that you were Jews. Forgot that Abraham, the blood of Abraham is in your veins. No, he says, truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who practices sin is a slave to sin. You're not free. You're slaves. And then he uses this analogy in verses 35 and 36 about a household where there are slaves and a son. And the son obviously is part of the household in the ultimate sense. And he uses this analogy just to reinforce his point. I am the son who has the authority, the power to free you from sin. And if I free you, you are free indeed. But they just dig in their heels. No, they say again, Abraham is our father. That's their religious credential and they're holding on to it. Well, Jesus said, if you were Abraham's children, you wouldn't be trying to kill me. This is not what Abraham did. Abraham's life, when you look at it in the book of Genesis, Abraham was far from a perfect man, but he was a man who received and believed God's word. The example that shows this most clearly, and the example that I think Jesus is actually alluding to here, is Genesis 18. In Genesis 18, it says this, the Lord appeared to Abraham by the oaks of Mamre as he sat at the door of his tent in the heat of the day. He lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, three men were standing there in front of him. When he saw them, he ran from the tent to meet them and bowed himself to the earth and said, O Lord, if I have found favor in your sight, do not pass by your servant. Let a little water be brought and wash your feet and rest yourself under the tree while I bring a morsel of bread that you may refresh yourselves. In other words, when the Lord visited Abraham, Abraham rolled out the red carpet and said, please stay. And he welcomed him as best he could. Jesus is saying, here I am now before you, and you're trying to kill me. That's not very Abrahamic. In fact, he says, you were doing the works your father did. So now he's suggesting they have a different father to Abraham. Someone other than Abraham. And boy, do they resent that suggestion. Because if Abraham is not their father, what's he saying to them? You're not God's people. You're outside of the covenant people of God. And so they respond with angrily, we were not born of sexual immorality. We have one Father, even God. We are God's people. I think that reference to we were not born of sexual immorality, I think that's a veiled dig at Jesus because of the unique circumstances of his own birth. So we're not born of sexual immorality, Jesus. We have one Father. We know who our Father is, but you, on the other hand. I think that's what they're implying. In any case, Jesus responds, if God were your Father, you would love me because I came from him. He sent me. And then in verse 44, he just comes right out and says it. Who their real Father is. He says, you are of your father, the devil. And your will is to do your father's desires. He was a murderer from the beginning. The devil was a murderer from the beginning because in the Garden of Eden, he lied to Adam and Eve. And what he said to them? If you eat of that tree, the one that God said don't eat of, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you won't surely die. No. God doesn't want you to eat of that tree because when you do, you will be like God and you will know good and evil. In other words, the devil said to Adam and Eve, you can be free. Free from God's restrictions. Then you'll be really living. And thus the devil murdered Adam and Eve. Because as soon as they ate the fruit and swallowed his lies, death came into the world. In that very moment, they died spiritually. And in time, they died physically. Friends, this is the slavery that we are all born into. We inherit from our forefathers, Adam and Eve, this slavery to sin. This is the problem of the human race. That we are mastered by sin, under its control, apart from the grace of God. And just like the Jews here, when we hear Jesus say, you are a slave to sin, oh, our pride quickly mounts a defense and says, no, Jesus, not me. I'm a good man. I'm not a slave to sin, Jesus. Oh, I know some people who are. I could tell you about my neighbor down the road. But not me. Sure, I mess up from time to time. I lose my temper. Every now and again, I look at porn. But I'm not a slave, Jesus. I'm not like some addict on the side of the road, just in bondage to their addiction. But Jesus' words could not be clearer. He says, everyone who sins, everyone who does sin, is a slave to sin. You know, what began in the Garden of Eden continues to this day. People saying, I do not need God in my life. I'll do things my way. Let's throw off God's restrictive law and let's do away with his narrow morality that's outdated. And then we will be free. Then we can sleep with whoever we want. Then we can live however we want. And we will not surely die. No. We've grown out of that now, haven't we? All that religious stuff. No, then we will be free. Those poor Christians are so enslaved to their God. Jesus says that when we turn from God and say no to him and to his son, Jesus, You're not free, you're a slave. When men and women plunge themselves into sexual immorality, it's not freedom, it's slavery. When people say a man can be a woman and a woman can be a man and that we can do whatever we want because we're free, it's not freedom, it's slavery. When people say we don't need God anymore, we can be good without him. We're past all of that Christianity stuff. Make no mistake, that is not freedom, that is slavery. And in this country, we have exchanged one slavery for another. The slavery of a gospel-less religion to the slavery of secularism, where we are slaves to our passions and anything goes as long as it's legal. All the problems that we see in the world around us today, whether that is nations at war or political turmoil or just rank anger and animosity between people who disagree, they are all symptoms of the problem, which is slavery to sin. What about you? Have you ever come to that point in your life where you realize you are a slave to sin? You know, it's one thing to point out at others and say, sinners. It's another thing altogether to look in the mirror and say, sinner. It's only when we see ourselves as truly desperate and broken spiritually, it's only then that we are actually ready to hear what Jesus is saying in this passage. I can set you free. If you already think you're free, you'll hear the words of Jesus here and just think, just like the Jews, no, we're good, Jesus. Thanks, but no thanks. Are you a free person this morning? Or are you like the Jews here, clinging to your credentials? Look what I've done, Jesus. Look at all the terrible things I haven't done. Or are you a Christian who throws away all records of so-called good works and says, all I have is Christ? Are you self-righteous? Or are you Christ righteous? If you are righteous in Christ this morning, if you are believing in him for eternal life, then Jesus says, you are free. Not that you will be free after you die. You're free now. Because he, the Son, has set you free. Instead of sin being your master, Jesus is your master. Because you listen to him and the truth that he tells you, instead of listening to the lies of the devil. That then is the second half, as it were, of this passage, the freedom that we have in Christ. This all raises the question, in what sense are we free from sin? What does Jesus mean, you will be free from sin? Because as 1 John tells us, again, writing to Christians, if anyone says they are without sin, if anyone says, oh, I don't sin anymore, I'm a Christian, the Bible says you deceive yourself and the truth is not in you. So Christians can never say, in this life, I don't sin anymore. Nope, can't say that. We do sin. Jesus says, you're free from sin. What does he mean? To begin with, when we believe in Jesus, we are set free from the deception of sin. We are set free from the deception of sin. The Bible often speaks of sin as a deceitful thing. Hebrews 3:13 says, "Exhort one another every day as long as it is called today, so that none of you may be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin." We all know what this feels like as Christians, don't we? You think, "I'm angry. And if I just let my temper loose a little bit, I will feel better." And it deceives you. Because the moment you do, you feel it, that you've been lied to and you believe that lie. Paul writes to the Christians in Ephesians, "Put off your old self, which belongs to your former manner of life, when you were slaves to sin, and is corrupt through deceitful desires." Let me just say something very straightforward from that passage. You will have desires this week that are deceitful. Desires to do things that are wrong. Desires to think things that are impure. And they will deceive you if you do not reject them. We do not live according to our desires. We live according to the truth of God's word. There's a sad irony in the fact that most people will look at Christians today and think that we are sexually repressed people because we think sex is just for marriage between a man and a woman. I think, wow, get with the times, guys. And the sad irony is that sex outside of marriage and the absolute abundance we have of it on the internet with pornography is deceiving people into more and more bondage. They are slaves to their desires. They're not free. All sins are lies. Every time that we sin, we're believing a lie. So if I get angry at my children because I've had a long day and they should be better children, I'm believing the lie that it's my kingdom is the most important. And that if they transgress against me as God, then judgment shall come. That's a lie. Or if we are to lust against another person, we believe the lie that their beauty exists just for our gratification because we're the center of the world. Or when we envy other people of their stuff or even of their gifts, we believe the lie that God is stingy and he didn't give us what we really deserved. But when Jesus saves us, he sets us free from these deceptions. His truth, his word, the Bible tells us this is what is true and this is what is false. Follow me and you will walk in the light as I am in the light. This is the way to go. Abide in me. We are saved from sin, or freed from sin, excuse me, from its deception. And secondly, we're set free from the punishment of sin. Jesus came into the world to take the punishment for our sins. As John the Baptist described him, what did John the Baptist say when he saw Jesus coming towards him? "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." Jesus is a sin-taking away Savior because he takes away the punishment that was due to us by taking it upon himself. The moment a sinner in Jesus believes, a full pardon from him they receive. I butchered that song. That's a hymn. But there you go. The moment you believe in Jesus, you receive a full pardon from him. Thirdly, and this is the last reason I'll give. Thirdly, when we believe in Jesus and put our trust in him alone, we are also set free from the controlling power of sin. Not from the presence of sin. No one's claiming to be a sinless Christian. The Bible doesn't allow us to make that claim. But we are free from the controlling power of sin. And this freedom from sin's controlling power, sin's mastery, is expanded upon by the Apostle Paul in Romans chapter 6. And I'd like you to turn there to see it for yourself. Romans chapter 6, verses 16 to 23. In Romans 6, Paul is talking about the freedom we have now in Christ. You're dead to the old way of living, that slavery to sin. Instead, you now live for God and are slaves to Him. Just listen here in Romans 6, beginning in verse 16, how Paul uses the exact same language of slavery and freedom. Don't you know that when you offer yourselves to someone as obedient slaves, you are slaves of the one you obey? Very obvious. Whether you are slaves to sin, which leads to death, or to obedience, which leads to righteousness. But thanks be to God that though you used to be slaves to sin, you have come to obey from the heart the pattern of teaching that has now claimed your allegiance. You have been set free from sin, just like Jesus said, and have become slaves to righteousness. I'm using an example from everyday life because of your human limitations. Just as you used to offer yourselves as slaves to impurity and increasing wickedness, so now offer yourselves as slaves to righteousness, leading to holiness. When you were slaves to sin, you were free from the control of righteousness. What benefit did you reap at that time from the things you are now ashamed of? Those things result in death. But now you have been set free from sin and have become slaves of God. The benefit you reap leads to holiness, and the result is eternal life. For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life. In Christ Jesus our Lord. Christian, you are no longer a slave to sin. You are a slave of God. Sin is no longer your boss. Jesus is. Amen? I used the analogy when I preached on this text about 2 years ago. Think of a boss you had on a job years ago that you no longer have. A boss I had years ago was called Jason Moyer. If Jason Moyer calls me and says, Kevin, I need you to do the following things by Monday, I can say to Jason, I don't work for you anymore, and I can hang up the phone. And when the devil comes calling and temptation comes knocking on your door and says, do this and you will be free, you can say, I don't work for you anymore. I am a slave to righteousness, and God is my Father. And I have the power by His Holy Spirit to say no. The devil is not your father, Christian. God is. And you bear the family resemblance of holiness by His Spirit. What sin have you allowed to entangle you? Put it away. You can. You have the power to live a holy life. This is who you are now, not a sinless person, but a Spirit-filled person. We've been free from the deception of sin as we renew our minds in God's Word. We have been freed from the punishment of sin because Christ has died in our place. And by the Spirit of God, we are free from the controlling power, our slavery to sin, because now we are slaves to God. Christians, let's keep abiding in Jesus and let's just keep going, listening to Him, obeying His Word, because that is true freedom. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for Jesus, the Son, who can set us free. Thank you, Lord, for those of us who have life in his name that we can say this morning, I am free from sin. Lord, we thank you that we are free from the punishment and the deception and even the controlling power of sin. And Lord, we long and look forward to the day when we are completely free from the presence of sin, when we are with you in glory. Oh Lord, what a day that will be. Father, keep us believing in your Son. I pray for anyone, Lord, in this room who has yet to trust in Jesus and who is still in their sin and still enslaved to it, that you would emancipate them by the power of your Spirit, that they would believe in Jesus now and know true freedom. God, this is the gospel that we proclaim. We proclaim not ourselves, but Christ Jesus, who came into the world to save sinners. And so we offer up our prayers to you with thanksgiving in his name. Amen. Amen.